Man, I'm just getting off the platform right now preaching a message that literally hit me in the gut as God checked me, transformed me, changed me by a message that really talked about eliminating the distraction of comparison. Ugh. Y'all, all of us deal with comparison in some way. And God is asking us to give our comparison back to Him, because if we don't, we will turn our allies into enemies. And this message is gonna help you. This message is going to help you. It's gonna help you with your relationships, with your companionships. It's gonna help you with your marriage. It's gonna help you be able to look at things that are neutral and not turn them into something nuclear. This message is simply entitled, A Distraction Named David. And I promise you, it's not what you think it is. I am so excited for what God's about to do in your life. And listen, if this message blesses you in any way, literally at all, one point like just resonates with you, I want you to share it with somebody else, because transformation begins with an invitation. Would you invite somebody else into a world that could potentially let them encounter Jesus and transform their whole life? I love you, and I can't wait to see what God does with you through this message.
Get your Bibles out. Get your notepads out. Smartphones, dumb phones, every phone is welcome here. We have been in a series for 5 weeks now. And the title of this series may be paramount, something that you need to go back and watch every month this week. Because the whole purpose of this series is to help you figure out how to put death to your distractions. And the truth of the matter is, I've been talking to some people and polling them of what they're getting out of the message, and it's so crazy that there are several people that have been around God long enough to think that they don't need to zone in on what God's saying to them about their distractions. I have kept hearing how it's such a good series for people who are distracted. As if, and I'm talking about some on my staff, some people that came in town, like, oh my God, this is for those who are distracted. Hold on. For those who are distracted. You know, for people who deal and struggle in those type of cycles. Do you know what pride will do? It will hinder you from hearing God. And I just want to, before we go into this heat that's about to come here, I don't want you to miss it, because your pride makes you deaf. Hear what I'm saying. Spiritually not able to hear what God is trying to say. Somebody say, to me. So from now on, I do not want you to think at all how anybody else's distractions need to be changed through the word of God. I only want you to think about the distractions that have been keeping you from stepping fully into what God has called you to do. The distractions, watch, that you have become so familiar with that you actually don't consider them distractions anymore. I need you to be aware that certain things that you have deemed a part of you are actually things that are keeping you from purpose. Today, I want to tell you, scream to you, be your alarm clock. Focus. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. Focus on His word. Focus on the instructions He gave you. Everything else should be second. Is it too plain? Because the truth of the matter is, there's a part of me that desires to impress you and say it in a brand new way so that it's like, that's deep. I can't. Because it's so simple. Focus. What happened to the thing God told you to do during 21 days of prayer? We're only 3 weeks away from when it ended. We 3 weeks post 21 days of prayer and fasting. You've gone back on, you've undone everything you did in 21 days in 3 weeks. How? Lack of. How? How did we get from where we knew God spoke to us 10 years ago to go into ministry and go to this school and do what God told us to do to now being like, I don't even know what God's saying. I don't even know if he hears me. I'm talking about real things that I'm listening and watching people. Somebody locked in when they're here in church, goes off to school, don't even look like the same person 6 months later. How does that happen? It's a lack, a loss, or a distortion of focus. And many of us, watch this, have lost our focus for so long, it's become a perspective. You're not trying to focus anymore. This is just your perspective. My perspective is that all people gonna do me wrong. Because I didn't focus on mending that one relationship that really had a tie to my heart. I never really forgave them. I never really walked away from that. I never did the counseling that I needed to do. So now people are gonna do me wrong. Come on, y'all. I'm telling you, if you don't focus, watch, and fix the things that God tells us in his word are important, we will turn something that we have not focused on intensely into a perspective about a whole group, situation, genre, all these things. And God said, could you let me come here and fix your focus? How do we do that, Pastor Mike? I'm glad you asked, because Hebrews 12:1, our scripture of the year, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith. Somebody say, I live a life of faith. Say it like you mean it. I live a life of faith. I live a life of faith. I live a life of faith. No matter what I see, I live a life of faith. My faith will affect my life. My faith, my prayer, my giving, my encouragement. I live a life of faith. Some of y'all need to say it by faith. I live a life of faith. I don't know where I'm going to live next year. I don't know what's going to happen down the road, but I live a life of what? Faith. I'm trying to inspire somebody to stop living a life of fear, a life of failure. If you categorize your years by the failures that happened, oh, that's the year I lost such and such, and that's the year that I didn't make it into this, and that's the year they left me, and you need to flip it. That's the year that God let me survive that. That's the year that God changed my perspective on that. It's not that it didn't happen, but that's the year that God made me into something I wasn't. That's the year I found out that I was built like a dog. That's the year. Y'all gotta hear what I'm saying. I live by. Okay. So since I live by faith, somebody say, I live by faith. Some of y'all need to say that every day. You wake up, thank you, Lord, for another day. And today, I'm gonna live by faith. Okay. So since I live by faith, I gotta undress some of this stuff that tried to get on me. I know culture tried to tell me to put on this weight. My family told me to put on this weight. I know everybody's been trying to tell me to put on depression and anxiety and do all of this other stuff. But since I live by faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Because the real reason I got to strip off the weight is because I got a race to run. And I'm going to run it with endurance, not the race that culture tells me to run, not the race that my family laid out for me, not the race, watch this, that I even laid out for myself. This is where a lot of disappointment comes. It's because you lay out, somebody told you were beautiful and you were tall, and so you should be a model. And then somebody else, like, you should be a model. And then somebody else, and you posed in the mirror and you did a little thing and you did a little. And you was like, I do look like a model. No, I'm just saying, I'm giving a very simple example of how it happens. You get a couple people to confirm what they see in you. You never consulted what God made you for. And now your disappointment, 15 years in, living in New York, trying to be a model, and the only thing you've done is walked up at Madison Avenue looking at things in stores you could not buy. Why don't, and now you are disdained, frustrated, faith lost in God. Because that's not the race. I mean, take some pictures, but that's not the race. I mean, walk in your friend's show, but that's not the race. I mean, model, do it, but it won't fulfill you because. I'm not saying you can't do it, but just make sure after you ran that practice round that don't count, still have energy to run your race. So many people are tired because they are running races that are not actually qualified. And right now, I'm just saying that sometimes that's where distractions come from, is us running the wrong race. He says, I want you to do this and run your race that God has set before you, verse 2. And the only way we can do this is by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Somebody shout at me, focus. The only way I can do this, with everything changing, with a new trend, another reason to be canceled, another, while everything going on, the only way I can do what I'm supposed to do on this earth is focus on Jesus, the champion, who initiated, that means he started it, and perfects it. That means he's gonna keep doing it until it's right. He initiated it in me and perfects our faith. Hold on. The only reason that I'm here is because I live a life of faith. Then God is the one who initiates and perfects my faith. And he's going to say, the reason I can do this is because I got proof. Because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now, he rested, popped up in a lazy boy. Not working, not moving, not trying to still do something on earth. That's the Holy Spirit's job now. He said, when he said it is finished, he did his thing. He is sitting there at the place of honor besides God's throne. Somebody shout at me one more time, focus. The only reason that I'm spending so much time trying to help you understand the value of focus is because we give so much energy to our distractions that many times we don't remember to focus. Have you ever tried to stop doing things so much that you forgot what you were supposed to be doing? Have you ever walked into the kitchen and was like, I gotta get something to drink. No, don't talk to me. I'm getting something to drink. And then you stand at the refrigerator. And then it's not until you get in a different environment. Then you go back. Distraction. And you're trying to block out all the distraction. And many times the fight against the distraction makes us forget to focus. So today, I'm going to help you, because the word has helped me, remember to eliminate a distraction that's probably plaguing all of us in some way or another. And so I begin to think like, all right, Lord, how am I supposed to help these people? Because I've been telling them about Samson. Samson got his hair cut off last week. I need to finish the story because my man, Delilah, she up there just swooning my man. And she must got that Uchi Wally Wally, because what's happening is like, why is this man going through all of this stuff and all? No, I'm just, this is me thinking, just stay with me in my thoughts. And I'm like, why are you gonna do that? He gonna let her cut off his hair. He loses the promise, all this other stuff. He said, Michael, come out of the story for a second and let them see the distraction from another person's standpoint. And I said, okay, God, what you want me to do? He said, I want you to go about 3 or 4 chapters later in the 1 Samuel. And I want you to find my man over there. And I said, your man? He said, yeah. I want you to find my man David. And I was like, oh, I know Bathsheba and David. He said, uh-uh. Because that was a distraction, right? He was like, yeah, but that was later. I want you to find out where David entered into the story, and this is what the Holy Spirit said, and why. Why do we meet David? He's most people's favorite Bible character. The name David was the most popular in 1899. Everybody's name is 1989. The name David is everywhere. Everybody cousin named David. Your middle name is David. How many Davids we got in the room right now? Middle, first, or last name? I saw you. You definitely look like a David. And what I'm saying, what I'm saying is, we love David. But David wasn't always loved. And today, I want to teach you something that I've never seen before that I think a lot of believers are doing, and I want to help us reverse it. But first, I think it would be easier to show you what I'm talking about than tell you. So let me put this over here. How many people drink dark drinks? Come on, Coca-Cola, Dr. Pepper, come on, root beer. Something's wrong with y'all insides. Y'all know y'all can put whatever this is on your car battery? And the acid, never mind, that's not my message, but you put this into you. Okay, inherently, having a cup of this is not bad. How many people have ever met somebody where their breath stinks? It's a sin. And how many people have ever used a Mentos to neutralize Satan's dragon breath? Okay, let's leave it at that. There's nothing wrong with a Mentos. A Mentos, honestly, is good in many situations. There's nothing inherently wrong with your dark drink of choice in moderation, okay? But if I take the top off of this and I decide to take these little things that aren't supposed to be with this thing and I decide, something that was neutral becomes nuclear when it comes in contact with the wrong thing. Why did it overflow at just the contact? Neither one of the things were bad. This is a picture of what I'm about to show you. Write this point down. That did seem evil, didn't it? Fractured focus turns something neutral into something nuclear. Pastor Mike, explain yourself. There is nothing wrong inherently with the internet. The internet is neutral. It's what websites you type in that makes it nuclear. Money is not inherently bad. Money's neutral. It turns nuclear depending on whose hands it's in. I just want you to think about the things in your life that are okay until they get into the wrong people's hands. Relationships, neutral. Until they get into an abusive person's hands, nuclear. Power. We've made power so bad. Power is not bad in somebody's hands that has the heart of God. Power is devastating in the hands of somebody that is only trying to look out for themselves. A title is not bad. It's neutral. Everybody say, a title is neutral. But some people use the title to turn people into things that are this small. Pastor Mike, why are you telling us this today? I'm trying to give you an example of where we usually put our focus. We put it on the thing and not the person holding the thing. You missed it. A platform is neutral. It's who stands on it and how they use it is where it can become nuclear. A promotion is neutral. What are you trying to say? Watch this. All content is either messed or is either a mess or multiplied by the hand that holds it and the heart that controls it. Anything you have is neutral until it gets into the hands of somebody with a bad heart, a greedy heart, a heart that does not want to see God's will be done. And the reason I'm bringing this is because too many people focus on the thing and not the person who's holding the thing. I can tell you so many stories that I was warned in church against things. But stay away from that. And the problem was, is that the person who was telling me to stay away from it had already had evil in their heart towards that thing. They had experienced that thing in a way that they didn't tell me that they had an issue with that thing. So they tried to make it something for everybody to stay away from because it was their issue. Now, I grew up not being able to understand certain things because I was told, stay away from it. But I had to realize in my maturity with Christ is that there are many things that people will stay away from because they think it's bad. Social media is not bad, it's neutral. Until you get in them comments and slide in them DMs. It was neutral before your curiosity. Before your deceit. Secrets. Pastor Mike, why are you bringing this up? Because I got to set the table for the distraction that has been killing many of us. And we're going to find it here in 1 Samuel 18, 5 through 9. It took me 15 minutes just to get you to see that the thing may not be bad that's around you. It may be how you're viewing that thing. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war. Who made David a commander? Who made him a commander? I just want you to stay with me. He made him a commander over the men of war and appointed an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. Take note. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistines, women from all the other towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul, and they danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. And this was their song. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000. This triggered Saul. This made Saul very angry. What's this? Y'all gonna credit David with 10,000 and me only thousands? Next, they'll make him their king. Point. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Today, I want to expose the distraction of comparison. David was not Saul's problem. Saul was Saul's problem. The title of my message is A Distraction Named David. Because all of us, somewhere in our life, has turned something neutral to nuclear because of our own issues. That was never supposed to be a distraction for me, and I made it one. That was never supposed to be an issue for me, and I made it one. That was never supposed to be a problem for me to go into that store or go be around those people or eat dinner at this place. But because I put my focus on the wrong thing, I made a distraction that was actually supposed to be something that helped me. Okay. Some of y'all don't know the story, so I have to go back and tell a little bit of it. The problem with this is that David was sent by God to torment all the things that were tormenting Saul. Saul had done some things to get out of right standing with God. We're going to talk about them in just a moment. So he now was not able to sleep. He had insomnia. Things were going on. He says, is there anybody? First, even before he was having insomnia, there was a Philistine giant taunting his whole army. None of his boys would fight him. David comes along, kills his greatest enemy. Now comes to a place where everybody like, yo, Jesse boy. Yeah. He was fine with that. Then he was getting tormented. He said, can anybody play? The same dude who killed Joe Giant plays a mean guitar. He begins to play his lyre and the evil spirits go away, the Bible tells us. Hold on. He done killed two giants in this king's life. And up until this point, he good. But it was after, watch, he put him in a position. David did not position himself. After Saul put him in a position, he goes and wins more victories. Now watch this. Give me more context. Oh my God. Saul is the first king of Israel. He has no one to be compared to. Your distraction of comparison is illegitimate because he only made one of you. Oh my God. He only made one of you. You're out here comparing your eyes and your shape and your status to everybody else, and they cannot be compared because you're only one of one. Saul is out here with nobody to, not a king, ever. Yet, his kingdom is expanding. His giants are being fought without his hands. He is in a place where everything that concerns his name is going to another level. And he puts his focus on the song of some women that he don't even know. Now you saying it like it's like, oh yeah, that's so crazy. But have you ever been in a place in your life where things are actually good? Where you felt good about the staycation you had? Until you went on Instagram and you saw that somebody went to Dubai on a whim? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Social media influencer, somebody just paid for me to go to the Ritz-Carlton in Dubai. And you was good with your courtyard stay. You just told somebody. You just told somebody how refreshed you were, and I needed that. And I had a long time I got to catch up on my series, and he was like, yeah, no, I'm not going to post that. And then Tulum. Where the heck is Tulum? Had nothing to be compared to. But as soon as you put yourself in a place, the distraction of comparison took your joy, took your peace, took. It took your contentment. And I'm just coming today to ask you, are there things in your life that were never meant to be a distraction, but they are now because you have embraced comparison? Saul listened to a song that made him sacrifice everything. One song. One song by people who weren't in his inner circle. One song, not from his core, one song from the crowd. One song made him sacrifice everything. If you go on to read it, Saul spends the rest of his life attacking the thing sent to attack the thing sent to attack him. Run it back, it'll make sense. He spends the rest of his life attacking David, the thing that was sent to attack the things, Goliaths, Philistines, that he was trying to attack him. He used all his energy, all his effort, all his power on a distraction that was actually supposed to make him better. Okay, the reason I'm bringing this up is because when most of us get triggered, we focus on the wrong thing too. Did y'all hear when he got triggered? He heard them singing this song and he didn't think, oh my God, this is why perspective is so key. He didn't think, I'm a good leader. David, he did 10,000s. And Saul did thousands. That's a lot of thousands. I don't know how many thousands it is, but we in the thousands. Because the kingdom was not credited to David. The only king with no one to compare himself to was Saul. So any credit still gets counted for Saul. But his insecurity, I got goosebumps saying this. His insecurity took a song sang by somebody on their first time coming through, and all he did was focus on that. Y'all gonna bring y'all tambourines out here? That's what it said, is tambourines. And you gonna sing this little, who made the song? Who wrote it? Ben, can you give me, I wanna show them what it sounded like. This is what it sounded like right here. Turn it up, DJ. He coming into town. Saul killed 1,000. David, 10,000. Saul killed 1,000. David, 10,000. They not like us. They not like y'all. Y'all see what I'm saying? They not like us. I'm just saying. Think about it. 1,000. David, 10,000. Saul killed 1,000. David, 10,000. Hey, they not like us. They not. Okay, you can say that. But I'm just saying, culturally relevant. Saul sitting there. I'm gonna sue whoever made that song. No. What I'm saying is. What I'm saying is, instead of thinking, man, we did that. The chorus should have been, they not like us. He should have been able to, I don't know what walk it would have been. The G walk, they'd be Goliath, okay. They should have been able to sing the chorus. He should have been dapping them up. They not like us. But because of comparison, all he heard is, he's not like me. I'm the king. He's not like me. They didn't grow up in the family that I grew up in. He's not like, why did they get that? Why is Michael Todd's ministry? I'm just saying, we may be supposed to be teammates. We may be the answer to a prayer in the future that you need us to win. You need God to continue to bless this. You need, but you will turn the blessing that God wants to bring into your life into something that becomes a burden you chase for the rest of your life because you saw it through the lens of comparison. I know I'm preaching. Today, it's important for us as a church to realize that this is the enemy's covert way of desensitizing the body of Christ, because it's happening not from outside only, it's happening within. It's happening in the same city. It's happening down the street. It's happening. Let me tell Transformation Church something. Whenever somebody speaks of another church in this city, you speak well of them. Look at me. I don't care what they said about us. We are on the same team. It's kingdom here. It doesn't matter the insinuation. If somebody speaks negative about us, God bless them. Because at the end of the day, God fights for us. Do you hear what I'm saying? And maybe we were trusted enough to be used a part of their growing process. But don't ever let me hear you say, oh, I don't mess with that church because shut up then. If your heart has not grown to the place where you can bless people that you know potentially don't share the same views as you, it exposes our lack of spiritual maturity. He said the only way that the outside will know that you're mine is because for our love, our good words, our encouraging words, one to another. The enemy don't got to do nothing about that. Because all you got to do is start comparing what they did versus what you did. This happens with siblings. And parents, y'all don't make it better. Don't ever say, be more like your brother. That's lazy parenting, number one. Okay, I'm gonna get in trouble. You should be more like your sister, but I'm not them. So it's lazy parenting to say, because they have a propensity to do these type of things, that doesn't mean that I can't. I just may need to be motivated, encouraged, corrected a different way. And if you think you're gonna copy and paste all the same parenting skills to all five of the kids, you needed to stop having us, because this is the truth of the matter. You're being lazy right now. And I need something different than Gabriel. Gabriel needs something different than Raphael. Raphael needs something different. Do y'all see what I'm saying? And many times, we sow the seed of comparison into our own children. And then to the oldest children, we put an unrealistic expectation on them to be perfect. So as soon as you tell them, be the example, and now everybody's compared to you, they then start hiding from you, because they never want to disappoint your expectation of them. This is too much. Okay, let me go back to the word. Let me just tell them what the Bible says. Jesus. All I'm saying is comparison is able to get into the households of believers, and we don't even credit the enemy with it. We just act like it's normal human behavior. I mean, their marriage looks great. Y'all know we do that. But did you see how... It can't be. There's no way. And why couldn't you celebrate if it was? Why couldn't it be, man, I really pray that everything that we see is actually, man, that it's like that from the root to the fruit. God,
Bless that marriage, God. Man, how inspiring. Father, just thank you. The problem with that is that takes humility to see other people's greatness and still be able to celebrate it when you're in a place where you don't feel that same level of accomplishment. Okay. And what I know right now is comparison is killing Christians. It's killing y'all. And it's not new. It's all the way back when Saul, the first king of Israel, comes in contact with one person who gets a song made up about him. What song have you accepted as truth that it was just somebody's opinion? How did those ladies know? How many people were killed? Okay. I just want us to objectively think about this. How would they even know? So it just must have been their opinion of what they did not see, but what they heard. And they made up a creative lyrical poem set to tambourine and lyre. And that's all it took to take a king to a place of obsession. Kings and queens, deep in the comments, arguing with Preacher Man 616. No, you're the king of the race God's placed you in. And you mad now and down here talking about, ain't nobody ever gonna disrespect me like that. Ain't nobody. Because, watch this, oh my goodness. Because of Saul's lack of focus, he doesn't confront the young lady singing the song. He confronts the one who's actually winning victories for him. That makes no sense. But distractions and comparison will leave you in situations that are a conundrum. Why am I even doing it? Why am I mad at them? There are people right now you don't like just based off of assumption. You have no facts. She's just a hoe. You don't know that. Look how she dressed. That means she a hoe? They're greedy. No. They were hungry. They ate their food. You didn't get food. And so now you're calling them greedy when they were prepared. The question, and I'm saying little things, but how many times do we take something we assume and we turn it into, watch this, a truth? Not the truth. A truth. Pastor Mike, what can we do? Because we can't stop the things from triggering us. Come on, let's be honest. Are we a hot church, humble, open, and transparent? How many times you can just walk into a place, see a type of person, and it's like, trigger. Ready to fight. Ready to cuss. Ready to leave. Trigger doesn't always mean engaging. Some of y'all get triggered when y'all see people and be like, oh my God, people. Woo, gotta get out of there. Sometimes trigger makes you confident in one moment. And you get triggered and just. How to protect yourself from comparison. I'm gonna just give you four things that I learned from Saul's life, because I should have titled it A Distraction Made by Comparison. Because David wasn't supposed to be a distraction for him. What distractions are you making right now? What families are you supposed to be in relationship with that you won't even go towards because of the way y'all met. Or you scrolling on IG, never having a conversation with them, but you heard what somebody else said about them. Your business would flourish if you teamed up with that other gym. But because somebody who paid you for 2 weeks and then went over there and paid them for 2 weeks, came back and made a song. Their gym don't have this. I like being here with y'all because you da-da-da-da. And now you're looking at somebody you never met who's supposed to be the answer to your prayer to actually take over the city in this area. You've made them into competition, comparison, and distraction. I'm just giving y'all examples because the Holy Spirit is really giving me a lot of them, married people. How in the world did you marry that person? You loved them for years, and now they're your competitor, laying in the same bed. Because of the walls of pride that have been built up. And now you compare how much money they make versus how much money you make. How much money they spend versus how much money I seen you on Amazon. How much they hobby costs, as much as how much your nails and eyelashes and lipstick and collagen and, okay. And you turn the person, watch this, that was supposed to compliment you. You turn them into competition. Let me tell you the first way that I figured out that Saul got to this place of making David a distraction. It was disobedience. Write this down. Disobedience leads to insecurity. A lot of times people be like, don't disobey God. Because when you disobey God, things can happen. And it's like, yeah. But we serve a gracious God. We serve a God that pours out his faithfulness and his mercy, even when we don't deserve it. God will take his hand off of certain stuff. He's not going to bless foolishness over and over and over and over and over again until we actually make a decision to repent. But what I found out is even when I don't experience the consequences of my disobedience on an outward level, my inward self takes a hit. So when I disobey God, my insecurity start to flare up. Because I know who I am with God. When y'all saw me do that, I got the keys. That wasn't Michael Todd. The keys. I lose my keys. Do you understand what I'm saying? That ain't like, I got the keys. The only way I was on top of this building say, I got the keys, is because of my relationship in obedience to God. And as soon as I disobey God, all of my flesh regular self shows back up. Boo-to-boo. Here I am, Lord. That's why sometimes I be so shocked that he still want to use me. And that's why God's saying, just obey me, keep me close. You look different. I got this picture in my head, like I'm Iron Man with God. Y'all, like, when I'm with God, you don't even see me. I'm flying. Y'all know what I'm saying? I'm out of here with God, huh? I'm out of here. But when you walk around doing this with God not on you, this is how most believers look. We disobey God, and we're like, no, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to invite God's presence. No power. What I need to be seen in at all times is the obedience of God. But this is the problem with Saul. Was he the second king? He was the first king. Let's say it like this. First and only. First and only king, yet He disobeys God, which leads him back to his insecurity. All of us start with insecurity. But when you step into God, it seems like those insecurities don't define you anymore. Not that I don't got them. It's just not the thing you notice about me. People are like, man, you're so confident. No, actually, I'm scared. Come on. Oh, my God. Pastor Mike, do you ever get nervous? Every time I get up here. But as soon as I put my knees on that concrete and I say, Father, this is not me speaking, but use me as an oracle. Let your word come out of me. Take over all my faculties. Holy Spirit, tag team back again. Let's do what you do. When I do that, that suit is. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what disobedience does is it disarms that. I can act like I'm standing in it. No power. In 1 Samuel 13, if you go back, you got to understand that Samuel was a prophet, and he's the one that anointed Saul as king. Saul didn't even want to be king. His insecurities were so bad that when they went to acknowledge him as king before the people, he was hiding in the luggage. He couldn't fathom that God wanted to use him that way. He couldn't fathom that from his tribe and at his age and with his issues that God wanted to use him. But my God has a way of taking people who don't even view themselves as qualified for the position at all. And he has a way of pointing them out and saying, you, me? Yes, you. I want to use you. I want to make you into what you never thought you could be. I want to change generations through your life. We hiding behind our luggage, our baggage. He gets called out of that, gets anointed as king, and then there was battles happening. And when the battles were happening, God gave specific instruction through the prophet Samuel, and he said, hey, listen, we're going to do a ceremony that honors God and is going to cause you to win victory. I'm coming back. Do not do it without me. 1 Samuel 13:11. Saul sees people in his army starting to get killed. He sees people getting killed. He's focusing on the wrong thing. And he goes ahead and does the sacrifice without Samuel. As soon as he finishes, Samuel walks up. Ain't that how it happened? But Samuel said, what have you done? Saul replied, hey, don't even worry about it. I seen you do it before. I saw my men scattering from me, and you didn't arrive, watch this, when you said you would. And the Philistines are out mi'kmash, ready to big bash. So I said, the Philistines are ready to march against us at Gilgal, and I haven't even asked for the Lord's help. So I was compelled to offer the burnt offering myself. Try to make it spiritual. I did what God told me not to do, but I did it because I felt compelled. I felt the unction, to go and talk to her. No, you didn't. God told you to be single in this season. But I offered it myself. I know it was before you came. Samuel, how foolish. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. You did not obey. Watch this. Had you have obeyed, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. Oh my gosh. This means if he would have focused on the thing God said and not got distracted by the people scattering, we would have never met David. David is Saul's replacement because of distraction. Come close. The only reason we know David is because Saul got distracted. I hope we never have to meet your replacement because you didn't fix your focus. I've decided I'm not meeting my replacement out of disobedience for God. I could be in the seat at Transformation Church talking about, man, this church is crazy, bro. I love this church. The music and da-da-da. Sitting there because I did not obey God when Bishop said, it's time for you to lead this church. I could be giving big offerings and in full disobedience watching somebody else up here doing what God called me to do. And Saul didn't even recognize that he didn't mess it up just for him. The Bible says that the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. You just robbed your children and their children and their children of royalty because you couldn't fix your focus. He says, but since you didn't do this, verse 14, but now, not your kingdom must have a break. It said, now your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his nation. Dang, didn't even give me 30 days. I mean, think about it. My man is like saying, you disobey right now. The Lord has already sought him out. Got your replacement. But the only reason is not because you're a bad person. It's just you didn't obey me. So write this down so you can know. Disobedience leads to insecurity. Pastor Mike, why is that important? Because insecurity leads to comparison. People who are secure don't compare themselves. I'm not saying that they may have never done it, but like, there are people that walk around like, what did they have on? What I got on? How does this look? How do I sound? How do I die? They're always comparing themselves to, but your genius is you. Your genius is who God created you to be, even if people aren't accustomed to you. So we usually factor in our greatness by how people receive us. I'm good whether you like me or not. Okay. I know that's hard to receive because I know we live in such a politically correct thing. I'm good. I may not be your cup of tea when it comes to preaching. But the proof is in the pudding. If nobody want, I was good at what God told me to do, my race. When I was in youth ministry, yes, I was long-winded. Yes, I'd say some things that were questionable. Yes. No. Let me be. I'm not discounting that I don't have room to grow. But please don't act like I wasn't good. See, some of y'all got to get a Holy Spirit confidence back. That unshakable confidence. You understand what? Because God called me and no, I never done this before. No, do you know? Well, everybody else is. That is good for them. And if I would have judged what God was doing in me by the response of people, many times when the crowd starts talking, so does comparison. They didn't like it, so who should I be like? If I was trying to be Elevation, if I was trying to be Pastor Furtick, or if I was trying to be Joel Osteen, or if I was trying to be T.D. Jakes, or if I was trying to be, I would be a horrible junior version of all of them. But can't nobody beat me at being me. You need to believe that right now, man. Somebody say, nobody can beat me being me. Come on. One more time. Nobody can beat me being me. So why don't you like you? If God loves you and likes you, why don't you? If he called you and chose you with all your flaws, why do you hate yourself? If he made you to have life and life more abundantly, why do you keep thinking of suicide? It's because somewhere you started comparing yourself to something that was not designed by the Creator for you. And today I'm asking the church to put down this distraction of comparison. Maybe I'm 40 and I don't have what I thought I was going to have. But why would I take away the joy I could have in this season by looking at what I could have that they have and I don't got and don't know how I'm gonna get? When my insecurity starts to rise up, that was given to me by all of the distractions that I believed, then that's when I get into comparison. Look at this. Samuel 18 tells us that all of Saul's generals like David, his son Jonathan, his family like David, and them ladies like David. It was too much for Saul to handle that he was winning in places that were more than the authority he gave him. He was fine with him winning on the battlefield. But when he started winning outside of the place that he told him to win in, he's like, no, not my family, not the generals, not the other. And these are all things, watch, that turn people who are supposed to be your allies into your enemies. Hear what I'm saying. Comparison turns your allies into enemies. He should have been like, great. I made a great decision. My generals, like, I was scared about how my generals were going to accept him because it's a new guy coming in and all the other stuff. The generals love him. My fam loves him. Jonathan loves him. I mean, the ladies love him. That's probably good for promotion. Like, we could get the word out some more. Maybe we turn the song. I mean, he could have spun the whole thing. But all he saw was, watch this. Oh, my God. Okay, I got to go back. Go to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, go back to where verse 8 in 1 Samuel 18, verse 8. It said it made him angry when he heard the song. He said, what is this? They credit David. Comparison is usually fueled by credit. They credited him. They don't know. But because they credited him with it, I'm going to start comparing myself. And watch this. Watch the jump from the song to verse 9. Watch the extreme amount of imagination that has to be injected. Watch all of the assumption. He said, they credit David with 10,000 and me with only 1,000. Next, they'll be making him their king. That's 2 + 2 = 1,056,728. How did we take that jump? Comparison will make you jump to conclusions that don't make sense to anybody. All right, here we go. I told you, we're done. Disobedience leads to insecurity. Insecurity leads to comparison. Watch this. And comparison leads to fear. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had departed from Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops in their companions. In everything, watch this, he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. When you can't identify the root of your irritation with somebody, it's usually your insecurity. Have you ever met somebody and you can't tell why you don't like them? I don't know, it's just some, I don't know. And what happens in this leader's life is this is all it's trying to do. Remember, they were trying to take Samson's vision away. What comparison does is take your vision away. So what happens is you start getting just a little insecure about the people that are around you. It doesn't take your vision away completely. I don't take it away completely, but I sure can't see what's happening over here. When you're disobedient, you lose peripheral. When you're disobedient, you got to try to keep everything in front of you. You ever been caught in a lie and you forgot what lie you was telling? No, I'm. When you're disobedient, you're trying to remember. Like, hold on. Is there anything back there? And this is what disobedience looks like. But what disobedience leads to is insecurity. And when I get a little insecure, my vision gets just a little darker. So I can't see over here. But what I could see is no longer clear. It's dim. And what happens when I put on these glasses of comparison, it leads to me walking in fear. And so now I'm comparing. And when I see other people winning, when I see God doing things in other people's lives, I become completely blind to him. Lord, I can't see anything. Lord, I don't know where the end of the stage is. Oh, there it is. Is the little step thing in front of me? Yes. Is, no? Yes. Yes. Yes? Is it in front of me? Yes. Hold on. Wait, did somebody say I'm hearing yeses and no's? Yes. Who wants to kill me? I'm not your enemy.
Right here.
Okay, thank
right
you. Here. Thank you. Okay. All right, cool.
Don't move.
Don't move. Hold on. Now I'm trying to navigate my life off of memory, off of past seasons, off of things that I used to. That's a lot more stage than I remember. Okay, there we go. What does it look like when I'm supposed to be at battle fighting other things? Finding generational patterns and fighting my own flesh and fighting through the trauma that I experienced just living in this sinful world. And I can't even see what God was trying to do through my alliance with something that I turned into a distraction. Right now, people may be getting up to leave. I can't see. People are leaving your life that you can't even see. People are coming in that you can't even see. People are aiming for you. And you can't even see it. You can't even see. You went to that new job and thought it was an upgrade, and that thing was made in a decision of blindness. You're in a relationship right now. You can't even see that they do not love you, don't care for you. They're using you at this current moment. And you can't even see. You can't even see that your kids are being distant from you. You can't see that they're being influenced by everything else because you've turned the role. You're going to be respectful to me. Yeah. But now you've turned the one conversation that they weren't respectful and they were being a kid into something that actually has now fueled a feud in between you to where you won't even share with them vulnerably no more. And in the years that they need you most, you have been now focused on that moment of disrespect that you won't let nobody just get out my house. You sent them into a war. And you didn't, just because of your pride. And this your kid, this your child. I don't know who I'm pointing at, but I'm pointing at you. This is your seed. That then you're going to come to church and say, pray for my child, they're wayward. Hopefully they find God. They were in a place of growing and they tried to flex that every person does. But your spiritual maturity and your ability, this is why we got to put away the distractions. Because their moment of a slip up or a failure or even blatant disrespect, it triggered you. And now because you're triggered, you're insecure. And now you're starting to compare yourself to people who are dead because now you're saying that you're going to be a parent that your parents weren't. Or be a parent like they were. And you start comparing and that leads to all. Y'all, I'm just telling you, it's a vicious cycle of the devil that has us all walking around blind. Now I have to be cautious where I didn't think. I didn't have to think about stepping a moment ago. Pastor, how long are you going to keep this thing on your head. How long are you going to keep comparison as a distraction? I've been preaching this series for 5 weeks and you keep thinking it's for somebody else. And somebody about to tune off and go watch another minister because I'm hitting your core. And you're comparing it to how you felt last time. Listen, whatever God's speaking to you right now, you better hear it. Now my glasses are all foggy. Now I still don't have peripheral, but I'm getting better. Now I have to readjust. All I'm saying to us, church, is that we have to set aside this distraction of comparison because it's going to rob us of allies and make enemies. Standing all over this place. This is not the moment to leave because I want to pray for you. I want to pray that the seed of the insecurities will be the thing that the enemy would no longer be able to attack. Because it starts as insecurities, and then the enemy isolates, and then it infects your heart, and then it irritates you. And I just really do believe that Saul's life is a picture for us of how we have to make a decision today to stop comparing ourselves to other moms. You're those kids, mom. God's equipped you with everything you need to raise those children, and he'll give you everything you can. So you stop breastfeeding, but you watching a mom have 7 refrigerators full of stored up breast milk, and that makes you feel bad about your day. I'm trying to use real examples, y'all. Now you don't think that you're doing good and you don't even have help, and God has blessed you, and somehow you're speaking life into those kids. You're dealing with the thing. Stop looking at them. Some of y'all may need to cut off access to people and things that make you feel inferior and flare up your insecurity. I don't know what it is for you, but some of y'all watching football because you almost made it, and if I wouldn't have turned my ACL, I would have been at the Super Bowl. And what I'm saying is, every time you see that, you see your failure. And now you're comparing yourself to 26-year-olds at 48. I mean, you're in delusion. You're delulu for real. You barely can walk down the stairs and you thinking you're about to go out there and get hit. No, but I'm saying, like, delusion will make you do that. And you're turning something. Football's not, it's neutral. But for you, because of the insecurities, it becomes nuclear. Now you're mad at your wife and mad at your kid. Nothing tastes good. You lost your... How did all of that happen? It's because I was distracted by something that wasn't supposed to be a distraction. Today, I'm making a fresh commitment to put all of my distractions before the one... The only one I should be comparing myself to. Jesus knew we would have a struggle with this comparison thing. Even the disciples that were walking with him, seeing all the miracles, they over there like, yo, okay, who's better? Who's better, Jesus? Like, where do I get to sit? Do I get to sit at your right hand in heaven? Like, when we get there, like, look at this fool. Like, they're literally comparing themselves in the presence. So he knew it was going to be a problem. So he said this: all right, I'm going to die. And I'm a, but before I die, I'm gonna live, and I'm gonna live perfect. And I'm gonna die knowing none of them can do this. So the only person they should be comparing themselves to is me. Everybody on this earth is not worth being compared to. He said, unless they have ascended and sit at the right hand of the Father, all you need to do is fix your focus on the one and only King. Yeah. So yes, they're beautiful, but they're not you. Yes, they're great at that sport, but they're not you. When you become secure in who God's made you to be, watch this, you can celebrate who God's made them to be. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? We got to celebrate what God's doing in others way more. But it's very hard to do that when you can't see God's hand on your own life. Today I want to pray for everybody who struggles in this area. I'm the first one. I can't tell you how many times the enemy tries to wear me out with comparison. And when I read this, when I got the revelation of this, I had to come and lay my, watch this, my excuses I made for myself at the altar, because I thought everybody compares themselves. It's fine. And God said, you don't have to. And today I'm telling you, you don't have to. I feel the presence of God. You can stop comparing yourself to them, to it, to a money number, to an apartment, to a home. Stop. Because it's robbing you of victories that you could be winning right now. If that's you all over this place, would you lift your hands if you want God to take comparison and put it in its rightful place? Yeah. Today, Father, we're saying we're ready for change. Come on, online right now. As you're sitting there, Pastor Ro, just sing that just one time for me. Receive from God.
Your love finds me when I hide. No valley low, no mountain high. I'm done running away. I wanna be altar here at the altar. Oh, no guilt, no shame. I lay down pride.
Yes, God.
Do a new thing on the inside. I'm ready for change. I wanna be altar here at the altar.
Father, here we are. We're bringing the distraction of comparison to the altar today. And we are sacrificing it before you. Father God, all the things that we've picked up along the way, from childhood, from school, from sports, from television, from teachers and coaches and bosses, and from our own filter, the lies we've believed. God, help us see ourselves like you see us, a masterpiece made in your image. Father, yeah, we have flaws, and yeah, we have things that we are working on, but God, you do not see us through the lens of our working version. You see us through the lens of what you've already made us to be. Today, Father God, we are asking that you would help us stop being addicted to comparison. Today, let our celebration for others go up. As we become okay with being in community and connection with those, Father God, who are great at things we are not, who have different giftings and callings and temperaments and spiritual discernment, Father, let us be intrigued, Father God, not isolated from our brothers and sisters. I thank you that your word says two are better than one. Father, where there's unity, there's a commanded blessing. Change our lens to see things the way you do, Father God.
And that means you're going to have to heal some places in us that are fractured. Our faith that has been fractured. Our focus that has been fractured. Today, God, I'm bringing everything to this altar. Let me see you in a brand new way, God. I thank you, Father God, that fear will no longer lead my life. The fear of somebody else's success. The fear of somebody else getting the job. The fear of somebody else being liked. The fear of somebody else, Father God, getting the promotion. Father, let fear no longer lead my life. Today, I declare I'm a person of faith. I am a person of faith. What is for me and my family and my generation and my line, I will not forfeit it because of disobedience. Today, God, I squarely put my faith back in you. I'm ready for change. And today, God, I want to be altered here at this altar.
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye, yesterday.
Goodbye, yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling my name.
I want to be altered.
I want to be altered.
Come on, just take a moment.
Here at the altar.
Just lift your hands and just say this together. I'm ready for change.
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye, yesterday.
Goodbye, yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling my name.
I want to be. Yes, sir. Just one more time. Somebody's getting healed. I'm ready for change.
I'm ready for change.
Goodbye, yesterday. I'm no longer living in that.
Yesterday.
He's calling my name.
He's calling my name. I want to be altered here at the altar. I want to be altered here at the altar.
If you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, we're out of here in 3 minutes, y'all. Today, I have no greater joy than to offer you a way out of comparison. For the rest of your life, you'll only have to be trying to be like our Father, and He'll help you do it. He's the only one that can help you change your habits once you give Him your heart. There's no judgment here, because I am as trash as your worst day in my flesh. But all I keep doing is stepping into that Iron Man suit and saying, God, lead me, guide me. And you have the opportunity to do that today. The Bible says any man that be in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, I have made all things new. Today is your day of salvation. On the count of three, whether you are in this room, all over the balconies, in the middle, or you are online, today is the day of salvation. The church is praying right now because they know how monumental this moment is for you. I feel the presence of God. Today is a day of transformation for you. If you want to receive Jesus, I just want you to slip your hand in the air. One, you are making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I am proud of you, but more than that, your name is about to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, shoot your hand up all over this place. I see you right there in the back. I see you. I see you. Come on, I see you all the way up there. Oh, Transformation Church, I see you. And more than I see you, God sees you. We believe that this is a day of change for you. At TC, all the hands that went up online in the penitentiary, today, God's changing your life. At Transformation Church, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. So today, we all lift our hands and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to be my example, to be my Savior, and to be my Lord. Today, I give you my life. Change me. Change me. Change me. I believe you lived. And you die so that I could walk in victory. I'm yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can we turn up all over this place? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Let's thank God for all that He's doing. Hey, listen, if you just made that decision, we have something for you. We have a Bible we want to give you if you're in this physical location. And I want you to text SAVE to 828282. And we're going to see God do a miracle through your life. Join us right here on Wednesday night, 6:30 for Sent Youth, 6 o'clock for prayer, Bible study. And real quick, there was a group of 30 people from Germany here today. Where y'all at? Was the people from Germany? Hold on, is that y'all? TC, all the way from Germany. Y'all gotta help me. We love you. We thank God for you. We believe for you, man. We pray that you were blessed today. If you need prayer for anything, our altar workers are coming to the front. They'll even meet you in the back. Hey, real quick, don't rush out of a moment that you need to make space for God to speak to you. I just want to encourage you. There will be no other atmosphere that is this set up for God to speak to you. We love you. Transformation Nation, don't log off. I want to pray for you specifically. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life. Hey, listen, real quick, in the room, I'm sorry, I just said that. I want to meet y'all. If anybody wants to meet me and our pastoral team and anything like that, right across the hall in the South Ballroom, we'll be back there in about 15, 20 minutes, and I'll hug you and kiss you. No, I keep saying that. I'm going to hug you and give you a fist bump, okay? And we would love to meet you. God bless you. Until next week, go out and live a transformed life.
Oh, I'm ready for a change. Goodbye yesterday. He's calling my name. I wanna be altered here at the altar. I'm ready for change. Goodbye yesterday. He's calling my name. I wanna be altered here at the altar. Your love finds me when I hide. No valley low, no mountain high. Done running away. I wanna be altered here at the altar. No guilt, no shame. Lay down pride. Do a new thing on the inside. I'm ready for change. I wanna be altered here at the altar. Creating me a clean heart. Wanna be altered here at the altar. Creating me a clean heart. Wanna be altered here at the altar.
Transformation Nation, I know that you can feel what God is doing in this moment, not just in this room, but in your home, in your heart. I believe that the Spirit of God is trying to do something brand new. And what that starts with is us giving Him our distraction. And today, I'm just so proud of so many of you that we are seeing in the comments, in the chat, that have decided to give the distraction of comparison to our King. And for everybody who just decided that I'm going to actually not just celebrate a moment of giving my distraction away, I'm gonna give God my whole life. I just wanna say I'm so proud of you. If you haven't had an opportunity yet, I want you to text SAVED to 828282 so we can send you resources so that we can let you know how you continue to join on this journey. And I've been coming here every day after service because I feel like I just want you to know that without the people in the room, that I just see you, I hear you, we're getting your names, we're praying for you. And right now is just an extra time of prayer. And so as there are thousands that are still on here right now, I wanna pray for you. Whether you're watching this live, you're watching the rebroadcast, this moment, the Holy Spirit is in it. So I want you to put your prayer requests right now in the chat. The team is typing them in. They're sending me, they're showing it to me on the screen, as well as I have cards here. And we're gonna be praying and agreeing and celebrating with our brothers and sisters from all over the world, from places that we will never be, what God is doing. So I want to get your prayer requests as we start praying for you right now. Father, I thank you. you. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you that right now your heart, Father God, is being implanted and grown in believers all over the world, Father, that you created us to be one of ones, that you have created us, Father God, to run our race, our specific assignment, Father God, being able to celebrate those to our left and right and not comparing. And so today I thank you for the deep work, the root work that you're doing on the inside of all of us. And today, Father God, we make a special moment, special space for you to continue to speak. It's not over with the service, Father God. Our ears are open. Our hearts are open. Our minds, Father, are ready to receive transformation as you point out the things, Father God, that are not like you and that are keeping us distracted. So today, Father God, we thank you for every person all over the world, Father, that needs healing, Father. God, we praise you right now, Father God, for those who have experienced, Father God, something in their body, but there is transformation and healing that has happened. Father, we pray for Heather that's in Tennessee, Father, that she is celebrating being cancer-free. Hallelujah, Father God. And that we pray, Father, that right now that those cells stay in remission, that, Father, anybody who's struggling through cancer right now, Father, that you would be their strength, and, Father, that you would work miracles. We pray for Kiera in Texas, that, Father, even as she goes, Father God, through the hardest moment of her relationship in divorce, I thank you that you are her strength. Father, your word says, Father God, that the righteous run into you and they are safe. So today, Father, we're praying for strength for her children if she has them. Father, for all those who are around, we're praying even strength, Father God, for her husband. I thank you for a transformation in that whole situation, Father. Whether they are to be together or not, Father, I thank you, God, that you will make them into who they are supposed to be. Today, we pray for Irene in Massachusetts, Father, that you would give healing for her son, Father God. And even as he has to go into surgery this week, I thank you for a successful surgery. Anoint the doctors for anybody. Come on, if you have to go into surgery, if there's anything that you need a procedure done, right now we're going to pray. We pray that the doctors would be guided by angels. Father, that the nurses would be the point of strength and contact that is needed. Father, we pray, Father God, that the nerves and the anxiety that would be around this, Father, it would be eased. Father, thank you for peace in the middle of the storm. And we pray for successful surgeries, Father, that you would guide the doctors and guide the physicians, Father, to do what's right. Even if it wasn't the plan, Father God, it will be the procedure that is necessary for them to walk in total and full healing in the name of Jesus. We pray for our sister Antoinette in Chicago, that you would give healing for the friends she's standing in the gap for. Father, for all of our friends and our communities that need you. Come on, if you have some people around you that need God, I want you to type their names into the chat right now. We pray for Jesse. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Chauncey. We pray, Father God, for Kim. We pray, Father, for all those around us, Father, who need you right now. Father God, if somebody doesn't stand in the gap for them, who will, Father? So today, we stand and we pray for our friends. We pray for our family, Father. We ask you, Father God, for them to be saved. We ask you for them to be healed. We ask that you would deliver them, that you would bring, Father, awareness. Let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened. Let them see you. Let them have an encounter with you, Father God. We pray for Wendell, Father, for courage and strength, protection, Father God, from all thoughts of depression and suicide. We speak to those lies and those distractions to purpose, and we declare, Father God, you have a sound mind. You have a mind of peace. You have a mind that thinks on the things that are good and not that which is evil. Father, we walk through situations that are hard, but Father, we do not walk alone. We thank you, Father God, even for tragedies that tried to ravage our peace. And we pray for peace that passes our understanding. Father, right now we send a special prayer to Monique in Los Angeles, Father God, whose son was tragically murdered. Father, today, Father, I don't even act to know what that feels like, Father, but your word says that we weep with those who weep. We mourn with those who mourn, Father God, and we pray and stand in the gap for those who need you to be a comforter. Father, we pray. We pray in the spirit, God, because there are words that escape us many times, Father, but we will keep her on our minds as we pray that you do a work in her family, Father God, to hold together, Father, what seems like should be falling apart. Father, today we bring everything to you because you are the God that can handle it all. Father, we trust you. We believe you. And we thank you that the depth of the distraction of comparison is happening today. Have your way in us. Have your way through us. And we'll give you glory, honor, and praise for it all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hey man, I love you and I'm so excited about what God's doing in you. Next week, I have a word for you. God's already laying this thing out. This series is so good to me because it's helping me focus as I put death to distraction, and I pray it's blessing you. If it is blessing you, I'm gonna ask you to do one thing. Would you please share this message, share this link with somebody else this week? Multiple people. Would you please, y'all did it last week and I'm so proud of you. Would you get online and make a video about a point or the message and how it impacted you? Because the best advertisement is the words of real people. I would rather not put up a graphic. I would rather put up your words and Transformation Church be able to get this off, because somebody that looks and sounds and is going through similar situations, you can just tell them what this message has revealed to you and tag Transformation Church, tag me. We're gonna try to spread this message to as many people until all have heard the gospel. And this is how God does his work through us. Man, I'm excited. Listen, as we leave today, I just wanna let you know, if you're one of the ones who wanted to be married at TC, but you missed the deadline for us to prepare and all those things, it's okay. You can text MARRIED to 828282. Is it married or marriage? What is it? Is it married or marriage? Marriage. I wanted to make sure I gave you the right one. Text marriage to 828282, and we're going to still send you some resources. And listen to me. Maybe you can't be married at TC, but you can go to that courthouse and get married. Come on, you can do it on the same day with all of us. Come on, let us know. I want you to live in covenant. And we're going to send you resources and help you with this. I'm so excited about next Sunday at 6 p.m. We're going to get to marry 15 couples, and it's going to be beautiful. If you're one of them, I want you to make some noise. Tell people to come. This is a beautiful way to get people who don't believe into the house or watching. And we're going to believe God's going to do something amazing this week. Tuesday is the rebroadcast. You can watch the whole thing with worship. And this Wednesday night, we have The Dig that starts at 6 o'clock. And we got our brand new youth, Sent Youth, that for everybody here in Tulsa. So we're not online yet for this. We're really wanting to build this and make sure it's a good experience before we release it to the world. But I need you to be praying for the revolution that's going to start at 6:30 this week. And then we have Bible study right after that at 7:15. And so I love you. I am grateful for what God is doing. And I can't wait to see you next week. Until then, go out and live a transformed life. God bless you.